Hey now, welcome in, y'all, and guess what time it is? That's right, it's porch time, and I am Miss McKinney. Thank you all for continuing to join. Thank you all for continuing to listen. Happy Mama's Day. Happy Mama's Day. Whether you are an adopted mom, whether you have no children of your own, but are a mother to a community of children, maybe even on your job, or just in your neighborhood. If you ever wanted children and looked at them with that preciousness in your eyes, happy Mother's Day to you. You carry a mother spirit, a nurturing spirit, just like any other divine female. So thank you for being you. Today, y'all, I'm so excited. I had to come out to my front porch and do an episode again, because it's Mother's Day. So many things happen in my life in this week. So on May 5th, it is the anniversary of my full-time job. And so I've been there 7 years, and I'm grateful to God for that. Next, that's May 5th, also Cinco de Mayo. May 6th is the birthday of my maternal grandmother. May 7th marks the anniversary of losing my mom. So a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings go into this. And then May 9th marks around a 15 or 16 year anniversary of flipping a four-wheeler to busting my head open to the white meat, like they say, between a barbed wire fence and a tree trunk on Mother's Day. So lots of emotions happen for me in May. And then let's not forget, back in 2018, we threw in a little graduation and going away to college there. So lots of things happened for me on May 5th. Lots of emotions continue to, have to speak to the ones that pass by. Lots of emotions run through my mind, through my heart, through my body in May. And this year, I decided to grab a hold of those emotions, and it's a prayer line that I'm on mostly every day. It's every day at 11, but sometimes I'm not able to join. But in that prayer line, he said that we celebrate with those that celebrate, and we mourn with those who mourn. And that gave me a great sense of peace, because it's okay for me to move on. It's okay for me to not get mired down in the feelings, but it's also okay to experience them. So again, I decided this year I would do them all. I would celebrate each day for what it brought to me and the emotions that it brought to me, and I would not fight them by any means. So I took a little staycation, about a 3-day vacation during those days, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th. And I celebrated. My son came and helped me celebrate some of those days, but I spent some time away in a different environment, just allowing myself to be me and feel all of those things, and it was most excellent. So thank you for you guys allowing me that time. So how did I find out that I was going to be a mama? Oh my goodness. So when I take the flu vaccination, I get the flu. But when I don't take it, I don't get it. That's the rationale for my body anyway. So this particular year, I had taken the flu shot. And of course, I contracted the flu. It was horrible. Thought I was dying and needed to go to the ER, hopefully for them to give me some decent drugs. And when I get there, they ask me, is there a possibility I could be pregnant? And I say no. But then Elijah's dad is there and he says, yes, there is a possibility. And so they test me. And of course, it came back positive. And for a split second, what hurt the most was, I'm not going to get any more than some Tylenol walking out of here today. And again, I felt absolutely horrible. I was in shock. I do know how babies are made and where they came from. But again, I was in shock. Going home, on the ride home, I don't think I said very much of anything, but Elijah's dad was extremely happy, you guys. And my son is 21, just to give you an idea of how long ago this was. I'm sure if you've listened before, you already knew that. But for the purpose of this story, I wanted to put that in there. Because as I continue to tell the story, I know there's a lot of things that have changed in technology that will make my story sound like I'm talking about something that happened back in the 1950s. But my son is 21. On the ride home, we were very quiet. As soon as I found out I was pregnant, the morning sickness kicked in. So I do think that some of that might be a little bit mental. I used to just talk to him and say, hey, we got to get through the day. We got to get through this day. And it seems like the morning sickness would subside. We had one car, so I would drop his father off at work and then drive to work myself. I spent that time about 25 minutes just talking to Elijah, rubbing on my belly, telling him what I wanted him to be and what I planned on being to him. But here's the kicker. I wasn't calling him Elijah then because my very first sonogram, which was early on, late enough, but early on for them to do a sonogram and feel like they could detect the sex. He was supposed to be a little girl born September the 28th, which is really neat because it is actually National Sons Day and it is my father, my birth father's birthday. And so we thought he was going to be a little girl. So some of that conversation was between myself and what I thought was Nia. But of course I have my baby, my loving Elijah. He ended up being born on October the 11th instead of September the 28th and being a boy instead of a girl. So I should have known then he was going to be a little trickster. And that particular year, October 11th fell on Columbus Day, which was a Monday. So it was awesome that his father just happened to be off from work. I woke up early that morning, having contractions. I didn't wake him though because he had been so tired from doing some things the day before getting ready. We had walked around the apartment complex because we were ready. I did spend some time in the shower, hoping that's my safe place too, hoping that the shower would take away some of that pain, and it did, until they got a little stronger. So in the car we head that way. I have two nurses. One is a very sweet one, and one is one that's like ladies have or women have babies every day. Sugar, tighten up, you know, get it together. And it was difficult for me, of course, to deal with the one who was like, tighten up, get it together, because the whole time I was pregnant, I thought that I was a goddess. Do you hear me? I thought that I was the only one on the face of this earth that was carrying such a prize. And that reflected in my personality and my attitude. I actually had a childhood associate tell me that I wasn't the only one that had ever been pregnant. And I just dismissed it because I don't know who she thought she was talking to. So dealing with that nurse was difficult for me. But the other one, you know, was very caring, acknowledging the fact that it was my first time having a baby. And she was awesome. So I remember Elijah's dad stepping out of the room and asking the one nurse with the bad attitude not to return, because Miss McKinney's attitude would probably match it at some point in time if it continued. I have my mom there. I have Elijah's dad there. They're eating. They're eating Whataburger, y'all, while I'm in labor. That was horrible. That was that was a terrible thing. They give me my epidural, which I'm extremely grateful for. But I'm not progressing very much in labor. He's laying on his cord and he needs to come a little bit more to the left. And that's not happening. So they decided to give me a cesarean. And while he was deciding, because when I very first went to the doctor when I was pregnant and I found him and he was going to be my OBGYN, he patted me on the hips and said, we're going to have this one natural. So he was a little scared to give me a cesarean, especially being my first one. I think they always want you to attempt to have him natural. But I looked him in his eyes, in his face, and I said, I've never worn a bikini and I don't have to start now. Let's do what we need to do. And so into the operating room we went. I remember there was like a plastic sheet hanging from the ceiling that draped from just below my chest and up. Elijah's dad was in the room all gowned up, all masked up. It was a pretty scary thing. So I just began to talk to Elijah after they were telling me what was going on step by step. And as they were telling me what was going on, I was just kept saying, come on, Elijah. Come on, Elijah. Come on, Elijah. Just like I've said for the last 22 years. Come on, Elijah. Come on, Elijah. You can do this. We can do this. Come on, Elijah. And he came out. He never cried. He never, ever cried. And I thought that they were supposed to slap him on the butt, you know, to make sure that they clear their airways and whatnot. Don't know if maybe that's different because it's a cesarean birth. But he never cried. And when they laid him on my chest, he looked at me like, "It's you?" And I looked at him like, "It's you." I will never forget the look in his eyes because he has so much hope and love for me. And it is exciting for me when I see that resurface every now and again. Not going to cry. So they take him away. They stitch me up and take me back to the room. By that time, the drugs were kicking in. And I remember doing a lot of sleeping and waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning going, "Where's my baby? I had a baby. I don't see the baby." So I trolley down in my gown to the nurse's desk and say, "I'd like to have my baby, please." And she said, "Well, I'm sorry. We don't, you know, it's late. We're not going to get the baby out of the room at this point in time. You'll have to wait until the morning." And I can't believe, I really cannot believe that that is not the first time that I didn't say something and stand up for my rights as a mother and his rights as a son. But I tell you what, it was the last. It was the first and the last time that someone would make me feel like I couldn't do what I wanted to do with, for, or around my child. It was the very, very last time. So they bring him in the next morning. He's been trying to do some feeding. We tried breastfeeding, didn't work. We tried regular formula, didn't work. We tried soy. He was able to keep it down, but then he had a taste preference. So he liked the pink Enfamil, the most expensive soy. And that is what we had. That's the formula that we used for him. We get to go home. The job, I need to back up a little bit. So the job that I had prior to Elijah being pregnant was a temporary job. And earning very well. I really appreciated being in that temporary job. I had completed the whole temporary process and they had decided to keep me on, right? But the whole process hadn't been completed. It was going to be like, you know, the next week when the whole process was done. A lot of people in my hometown knew that I was pregnant, but a lot of people up there did not. You really couldn't tell that I was pregnant if I had on certain things. But then again, like he said, like my doctor said, I've got some weight in my hips. And so that's where I carried him a majority of the time. And you couldn't tell if I just had a budge, you know, a bulge in my stomach, or if I was pregnant. But again, the people back home knew that I did. And one of the ladies back home knew someone who had a full-time job at the facility, but it was shaky. I believe they were getting ready to let her go. And so once the lady from my hometown told her, you know, "How's she doing? She's pregnant." Then she immediately went to my director and told her I was pregnant. They asked me and I said, "Of course, you know, yes, I am." And they said, "When are you due?" And I was like, "Next week." So needless to say, that was the end of our temporary job. We get home. Elijah's dad goes back to work. I don't have a job to return to. He was awesome in supporting and taking care of us. And of course, we had saved some money for this time period prior to Elijah being born. But I enjoyed my time at home. I enjoyed having a little bitty baby that depended on me for everything. And most importantly, I enjoyed when I put him in one place, he stayed. He didn't ask me why. He didn't roll his eyes. He didn't get up and move. He just stayed in one particular place. Absolute greatness. Absolute greatness it was. Our very first movie together was Saturday Night Live. Our very first dance together was Staying Alive. I don't know if that gave us the music that we were going to have throughout our life, but that's definitely what we've been doing. Surviving, staying alive, thriving, and living. I'm so very, very blessed to have my son. There's so many things that he teaches me. He has such a calm and beautiful spirit for the most part. Now he'll get crunk, but he has a calm and a beautiful spirit. If I am going through something mentally and just need somebody to talk to, I can call my son now at 21 and talk to him about things. And he understands. And the other thing is he will throw some of my mom wisdom back at me. So if he notices that, you know, maybe mama's emotions are taking her a little bit too overboard, he'll pull me back. And he will try to pull me back gently at first. And if that doesn't work, he'll get crunk, but he makes sure that he keeps me on the right track. I'm so blessed to have you in my life, Elijah, Jerian, Carol. I've always known from the very beginning that you were going to be something special, something extraordinary, something that was going to be not only a blessing to me, but all you come in contact with. And that has definitely been the case. Thank you guys for listening to my mommy episode. I'm going to have to cut it short or y'all are going to be hearing me doing some snot crying over here. Thank you to all you mamas who went through it, who have been through it, who have done it, who are still doing it. Be proud of yourself. Take a bow. It takes a special individual to be a mama. Love you all so very, very much. Be blessed on this Mother's Day and take care.